Saga Egmont presents Blood Money by Johnny Two Combs Howard. Read by David John. Prologue. For hours, the only sound had been the wind hissing through the tops of the trees. A stiff breeze that at least kept the frost at bay, making it marginally less cold for the hidden SAS teams. One group was in the bushes that lined the northern side of the road, the other in the rapeseed field opposite. To avoid detection, they'd taken up position the night before. That meant a long, cold and patient approach, very necessary to avoid the well-mounted IRA surveillance operation. Terrorists weren't mugs, and nor were they just mad, gun-happy fanatics. In a war that had lasted 25 years, the British Army faced men who had been born into the Troubles. They'd taken their first lessons in terrorist tactics with their mother's milk. Then they'd grown up in houses where the adult talk was all about the best way to fight, with limited resources, a successful guerrilla war. In the school playground, they acted out the roles of gunman and victim, and fought imaginary battles with more numerous enemies. In later years, emerging from classes in science and chemistry, during which they'd paid a great deal of attention, they probably argued about the best way to construct and plant a bomb. Like any army, the fighting men had plenty of backup. The terrorists who would do the forthcoming job might have looked over the target. But that was so long ago that their presence would have gone unremarked. The plan had been made. Maps and diagrams drawn, and a scale model of the area constructed. Despite tight secrecy, the IRA commanders knew the risks of betrayal, and that brought into play the support tail, which in South Armagh, the heart of bandit country, amounted to almost the entire population. There were dickers on foot, placed at strategic points to warn of an unusual army or police presence. Up to a dozen cars would be used for mobile sweeps. Other sympathisers walked their dog, not only over the attack point, but the ground approaches as well. Some of these watchers were men from active service units with radios, so that they could control the overall situation. Only when they were sure that the area was clear would they radio for the attack to go ahead. The teams designated to stop them had coped with all of that and got themselves into the right position to interdict. Training had got them there. Constant practice in covert tactics that bore out the regimental mantra, train hard, fight easy. Working in such a hostile environment, you never knew if an op was going to go down or be aborted. And that applied to the first few minutes as well as the last. The guys they would be up against when they went to their hide and drew a weapon or a bomb, expected to use it. Any troopers who'd served in Northern Ireland would list more operations that went sour than he could those that went right. Times when their weapons had never been raised, let alone fired. But you could only take advantage when the plan worked out. If you trained for success, which the SAS did, day in and day out. Right at that moment, on this op, the fat lady hadn't sung. For the NI troop commander back at the ops room, as well as the men on the ground, failure was still an unwelcome possibility.